All right, so Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 33 this morning. Luke 24, beginning with verse 33. And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And began to relate their experiences on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. While they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." When they had started, but they were startled and frightened in the thought that they were seeing a spirit, Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for the spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And then while they were still could not believe it for joy and were marveling, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now Jesus said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ shall suffer and rise again from the dead and on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin shall be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending you forth. I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, and you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for this opportunity to recognize that you are truly Lord and you are God Almighty. And I pray, Lord, as we complete this study here in Luke, that we would be challenged to be disciples of Christ, to live as we're supposed to act the way we should. And I just pray that you would enlighten our minds now as we continue this study, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we are closing out this study here in the Gospel of Luke. And I have tried to point out some of the important parts about Luke, and especially here at the end as we're looking at the passion of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. We were given very specific witnesses so that we could know a couple things: that Jesus was the Son of God, know that Jesus was innocent as far as his human condition was concerned, he never sinned, know that Jesus actually did die on the cross of Calvary, and know that he was in the grave for 3 days, and we know that he rose again on the third day. These are all the things that are important to us in our faith, in understanding just who God has sent as our Savior, and that we really have a Savior. These are extremely important parts in what we trust in and in our faith. And so in addition to the witness as to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our text also this morning gives his disciples some final parting instructions about the mission that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how we are to proclaim the plan of salvation to those who still are in rebellion against God and have sinned against God. So let's get into our text this morning, beginning with verse 33. And they, that's, we're speaking of the disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, and they rose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and have appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. So here again we have these two witnesses as to the resurrection of Christ. We have the witness of the disciples who traveled with Jesus on the road to Emmaus and discovered who he was only after he prayed when they were breaking bread for supper. And these disciples got up quickly and went back to Jerusalem to proclaim this good news to the rest of the disciples, only to find out that they already had that good news proclaimed to them through Simon Peter. He was the first to have encountered Jesus in his resurrected life. So we have these testimonies as to the eyewitness account of the resurrection. Again, this is extremely important. If you recall last week, one of the things that I talked about was that that the guards of the tomb were paid to say that the disciples came and stole the body. So that information or misinformation needed to be attested to and spoken against by the eyewitness of all these disciples during the time that Jesus was here on earth before he ascended into heaven. All right, so again, just further proof that Jesus had really died, that Jesus had really rose from the grave. Verse 36, while they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." So each one of the gospel accounts give a little bit different account of the resurrection of Christ, and that's exactly what you would expect. As you get several different points of view, then certain accounts contain some events while which were important to the author, while others contain different events that took place at the same time as to the witness of Jesus' revelation of himself to the church after his resurrection. And again, I remind you of that because the those who are skeptics or enemies of the scriptures, they will talk about these differences that they see in the gospel accounts. Well, you would think that would be a normal thing. If you know anything about hearing stories from different points of view, you get different stuff that goes on and things, different things that remember. But skeptics like to think that maybe the gospel should all have contain the same information. If that was true, we wouldn't need all the gospels. We would just need one of them. If they had all of it, you wouldn't have to read but one of them. So we get these various accounts, and it's really intriguing to see the interaction of the disciples and all the various things that take place or took place when Jesus rose again from the dead and spent those few days before his ascension among the disciples, where there's at least 500 men who witnessed that Jesus truly was alive again. And that is one of the critical things about our faith, is knowing that Jesus, who died, rose again. It really testifies to the fact that the price for man's sin was fully and completely paid by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 37, they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. Again, this doesn't surprise me. I mean, if you saw Jesus, who you knew was dead, standing before you in flesh and blood and talking to you, you would be shocked. And so verse 37 actually gives testimony to the death of Jesus again in the midst of this testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. And all these points are extremely critical. If the price for our sin was paid on the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ. Verse 38. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them hands and his feet. So, again, important principles that God has promised us as believers are being testified to in these three verses. You know, we are promised, church, that we will have a bodily resurrection. Now, as we have gotten older, some of us would think, "I don't want this body back." And that's true. That's good, because you're not going to get that one back. You're going to get a better one. You're going to get a new glorified body. But it's still going to be a body of the flesh, enhanced spiritually. I don't know exactly how to look at everything that's there, but we have been promised a bodily resurrection, and all those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may not see them physically present today, but there will be a day when we will be together and we'll worship together and we'll spend time together in the new heaven and the new earth and be able to just rejoice in the hope of our salvation and be among God and His Son and just revel in His glory as we have been promised as a part of our hope in trusting in Jesus Christ. So these are all promises that are going to be fulfilled, and initially were fulfilled by Jesus' resurrection. In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about that his physical resurrection gives us hope of our physical resurrection. So as he is the first fruit of the resurrection. All right, verse 41. And while they still could not believe it for joy and were marveling, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. So just additional proof for the shocked disciples. You know, there's throughout history there has been claims that Jesus did not bodily rise from the dead, that he was just became a spirit, and that's what they experienced. But the scriptures give us these evidences in the scripture that Jesus was resurrected in the flesh. And this is one here. Jesus says, "Hey, look, here I am in the flesh. You don't believe me? Look, first of all, at my hands and my feet. You can see the scars of the nails that were placed in him at crucifixion." And then he said, "Just touch me. Spirits don't have bodies. So if you touch me, you'll be able to figure it out." And there are several instances in the Gospels that testify to this same thing, showing us that Jesus did have a physical resurrection, and that we have this proof of that resurrection in these eyewitnesses. Verse 44. Jesus said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things were written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So that's one of the things that Jesus accomplished during his mission, is proving that the Word of God is true. In the Old Testament, it's sometimes difficult to understand which passages have to do with the Messiah and which don't. But the fact of the matter is that God made promises to man. Man needed a perfect sacrifice. And so God promised that he was going to send that perfect sacrifice. And in the Hebrew, the word was Messiah. So he was going to be the Savior of the world. Now, we know from our study just through here in Luke that over time, the Jewish people began to believe that the Messiah was going to be a military leader and rescue the nation of Israel. But scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, are very consistent that the Messiah is going to save man from his sin. The whole purpose of Christ and Christ's coming was to shed his innocent blood to pay the price for our sin, our rebellion against God. And Jesus said, look, everything about my life, here in verse 44, he says, every bit about it was prophesied in the Word of God in the Old Testament, and God has fulfilled that word, has made it true. So God's word is true. God's word stands true. Those prophecies were made in the Old Testament, and we sometimes forget there was no New Testament, so, I mean, we can't use that. Jesus and the apostles and Paul and all those people who followed after Christ called the Scriptures the Old Testament, and they thought they were true, and they were true. But they believed they were true. They followed what the truth of the Scriptures, and were empowered by God because of them. And so we know that Jesus was the Son of God. He's the Savior of all mankind. God promised him in the Scriptures, and God has shown us the fulfillment of that promise as we have studied through this book of Luke. So we have all those proofs. Verse 46. Jesus said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, that repentance for forgiveness of sin shall be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And so, again, Jesus reminding us of the major tenet of the church, the major function of the church is to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow all men to understand and know what God has done for them, how God has paid the price for sin. So he lists these important aspects of what the Scriptures say. He says that in them, it is written that Christ would suffer. So there's lots of scriptures in the Old Testament that speak to the fact that God's Savior was going to suffer in human flesh, just as man has suffered in the human flesh. There's testimony in the Old Testament that says that the Messiah was going to die. In fact, not just going to die, he had to die. There's testimony in the Old Testament that the Messiah was going to rise again from the dead on the third day. And Jesus clearly spoke of that several times as he was here in his earthly ministry. And lastly, the task of the church, of the followers of God, of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the responsibility to proclaim the salvation that God offers to man through the Lord Jesus Christ. That we need to repent of our sins, turn away from living life our way to turning to live life God's way. We need to be forgiven of our sins through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim the fact that Jesus is the Savior. He was the Son of God, both God and man, lived in the flesh, perfectly obeyed God, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, died, was buried, rose again on the third day. All these are aspects of our faith and are facts of our faith, and that we have a responsibility as disciples of Christ to let all the nations hear. And here in Luke, Jesus just says simply, proclaim to my name all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So everybody, the Jewish people, the Arabs, the Chinese, anybody that is a person, which is all those who are human, need to hear that God loved them so much that they sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary so that we might have life. But he is the only way. He is the only hope. And we need to broadcast that information. If you're trying to get to heaven because you're a nice person or because your parents are nice people or your neighbor's worse than you are, doesn't matter. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified so that we might have life. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Again, you. Now He's speaking to the disciples, to the church. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have become a witness. What is the responsibility of a witness? To tell what they know, what they have seen. We are to tell what we know and what we have seen. We are to broadcast and proclaim this gospel message. Verse 49, behold, I am sending you forth. Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, that you are to stay in the city until you're clothed with power on the high. And that's the other important aspect of the church. We're not doing this on our own power. We're not doing it because we just have an extraordinary strength or an extraordinary faith. God has promised us the strength and the power and the opportunity to share with the lost world the Lord Jesus Christ. And God sent His Holy Spirit upon the church, and the Holy Spirit indwells us and gives us this power and gives us the urgency of sharing this news with other people around us. We are clothed with power upon high. See, I know it's a little scary to talk to others about Christ sometimes and to be rejected and think all the various things that come with sharing cross of Calvary with people, but the fact of the matter is that we have the power to do it, and we have the ability to do it through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit's empowering us. So I encourage you, church, to be involved in that very, very important work. All right, let's close out this gospel now. Verse 50. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came about that while He was blessing them, He parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. So this is the end of what took place in what Luke wrote down. We know that Jesus spent a number of days on this earth, and then eventually He rose from the earth, ascended into heaven, and went and sat at the right hand of the throne of God, awaiting the time when God's going to send Him again to gather His church, when we will be taken to this new heaven and the new earth, given a new glorified body, and will spend eternity with Him. Those are the promises that have been given to us as the church to become the bride of Christ and to live in this new heaven and the new earth along with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the hope that we share by trusting in Jesus Christ. The important part this morning is to be sure that that is the group that you're involved in. Man sinned, fell short of the glory of God. God pronounced a punishment upon that sin, which is eternal damnation. And there was no avenue for sinful man to be saved. But God so loved us that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to become a substitute for our payment of sin. He provided that path. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived in the flesh. He obeyed God. He spoke about God. He shed His blood, paid the price for our sins, and gave us the hope of eternal life. Have you recognized that you are a sinner and that you fall short of the glory of God? Have you repented of your sin and turned away from living life your way to turning to living life God's way? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, the Son of God? He died on the cross of Calvary to give you life through His shed blood, and He rose again on the third day, having victory over death and sin. And you need to confess Him as Lord of your life by living your life in obedience to His commands. That's the critical nature of the task this morning. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank You for the chance to study your son's life on this earth. And I pray that we would not go away from this study empty-handed, but that we will just rejoice in the hope of our salvation by trusting in Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to be together again this morning, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.